Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Recently, I watched a movie that was based on Herman Melville's American novel, Moby Dick. I think I read the book years ago, maybe in high school or college, but when I watched the show again, I realized why I hadn't viewed it in such a long time, because I think Captain Ahab was insane. Ahab was absolutely obsessed with seeking vengeance on that great white whale, Moby Dick, that ended up costing him his crew, costing him his ship, and costing him his own life. In other words, Captain Ahab did not navigate his storms of life very well, whether external storms that came from without or internal storms that churned up from within. From all storm directions, Captain Ahab failed miserably. Nehemiah in the Bible is no Captain Ahab. In fact, Nehemiah is everything opposite that Captain Ahab portrayed. Nehemiah was a godly leader who feared the Lord and cared deeply for his people. But more than that, he exhibited unshakable faith in the Lord, no matter what storms came his way, whether storms came from without or from within. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll look at two external storms and two internal storms that Nehemiah faced as a captain, the leader of his people, and how Nehemiah navigated these storms, not with a man-centered fear, but with a God-centered reverent fear and faith in the Lord. But before we go any further in Nehemiah chapter 4, it's important to understand the historical context of the book of Nehemiah that took place less than 40 years after the events in the book of Esther. If you remember the book of Esther, it unveils the satanic plot against the Jews hatched by wicked Haman for attempted genocide against the Jewish race. The Jews at that time were under the rule of the Persian Empire, which is modern-day Iran and Iraq. God, through his people, predominantly Mordecai and Queen Esther, who was providentially appointed for such a time as this, were used by God to deliver his people from the storm threat of death. So why is this historical connection between these two books important? Because when you see the book of Nehemiah through the lens of what happened in the book of Esther, you come to one conclusion. All these external and internal storms that came against Nehemiah and God's people were in reality spiritual attacks from the enemy, Satan, that manifested in the physical form. None of these things that happened to Nehemiah and God's people while they were building the wall were just mere happenstance or coincidence. This was a spiritual attack, a spiritual war against God's people and God's plan manifested in the physical form. What is true for Nehemiah and the people back then is also true for us as God's people today. Biblically speaking, every attack that comes against us as God's people, especially when we're seeking to do God's work, God's way, is a spiritual attack manifested in the physical form. We must understand in the midst of the storm that we are in a spiritual war and that God wants us to respond to these storms from a spiritual point of view. Not out of a man-centered fear, but a God-centered reverent fear and faith in the Lord. The first storm listed in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, was the external storm of mocking words. But it came to pass, it says, that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was angry, he was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." In this initial storm of mocking words, how did Nehemiah respond? He prayed up. He said in verses 4 and 5, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." And what was the result? Well, Nehemiah's pen recorded in verse 6, "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." It's important here to take a page from Nehemiah and understand that different levels of storms require different responses. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "There is a time for every season under the sun. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak." Sometimes when people attack you through mocking words or hurl angry insults and words at you, sometimes it's best to say nothing at all, but rather take the matter straight up to God in prayer. Our first response to any storms, and especially to the storm of mocking words, is to pray up. Do not pass go. Do not respond. Do not pick up the phone, but take it to the Lord in prayer. Remember that these are spiritual attacks from the enemy that manifest in the physical form, and that's why we must first respond with a spiritual mind in view. When storm clouds come knocking at your door, pray up. The second storm in Nehemiah 4 was the external storm of physical threat. In other words, the storms didn't decrease, they increased and ramped up. In Nehemiah 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." What's going on here is that Jerusalem was now surrounded by all four sides of their enemies: Sanballat, the Samaritans from the north, Tobiah, the Ammonites from the east, Geshem, the Arabians from the south, and now the Ashdodites, who are the Philistines from the west, which is modern-day Gaza. Nehemiah and the people were surrounded by arch enemies who only wanted to do them harm, to fight against Jerusalem and to cause the work to cease. Clearly, this is a spiritual attack from the enemy manifested in the physical form. Nehemiah's response to this physical threat is not only to pray up, but also to armor up. It says in verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." The remainder of Nehemiah chapter 4 is a fascinating chapter how Nehemiah not only responded in prayer, but also had an armor up plan in case of physical attack. Nehemiah, it says in the Bible, took half the people and made them armor bearers, people who were prepared for battle with bows, arrows, spears, swords, and shields, while the other half continued to build the wall or haul away the rubble and the debris from the former broken down wall. But everyone, whether armor bearers or wall builders, were prepared to fight and be ready for battle. With one hand, they built the wall, while the other hand, they were ready to grab the sword girded at their side. Well, what's the spiritual principle here? Every day, we as God's people need to be proactive and put on our spiritual armor and armor up for every storm. Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament is a clarion call for every believer to put on the helmet of salvation, which is the gospel of Christ, remembering who we are and to whom we belong. To put on the belt of truth, remembering our Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And to put on that breastplate of righteousness, not walking about in our own supposed righteousness, but knowing that we are covered only in Christ's righteousness that is given to us by faith in Christ alone. And to put on those gospel shoes of peace, which is the only hope for true peace in this world through saving faith in Christ, and lifting up the shield of faith, whereby we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, while at the same time holding forth the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and having our knees always ready for prayer, making supplication for all the saints, which are the Lord's people, the family of God. Just as we need to understand that we are in a spiritual war that manifests in the physical form, so Nehemiah and the people back then, they were in a spiritual war that was manifested in the physical form. What Satan could not do through external storms of mocking words and physical threats, Satan attempted to do by almost stopping the building of the wall altogether through the internal storms of discouragement and despair. In my opinion, from the 30 years of experience in full-time Christian ministry, it is the internal storms that cause the most damage more than any external storm can inflict. Satan is on a short leash by the sovereign hand of God and can only go so far and only with God's permission. If you don't believe that, check out the book of Job. I believe the true target of Satan is not the external storm threat that he seeks to kick up, but rather the internal storm, which is the target of causing a man-centered response of fear versus a God-centered response of reverent fear and faith in the Lord. The same was true with Nehemiah and the people who were the target of these rapid-fire attacks. The first internal storm of discouragement was like a massive wave that hit against the wall. Nehemiah 4:10 says, "And the people of Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.'" Translation: the people cried out to Nehemiah, saying, "The job's too big for us. We're tired. We're weary. We might as well quit now, for we're not able to do it." And then the second internal storm of despair came in next and almost sunk the whole wall building project. And it says in the next verses in 11 and 12, it says, "And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places whence ye shall return, and unto us they will be upon you." In other words, to complicate matters further, other Jews chimed in with the discouraged wall builders and said on continued repeat, "What does it matter if we build this wall anyway? Our enemies without are going to come upon us from all sides and kill us." Well, how did Nehemiah respond to these internal storms that were breaking against God's people that caused discouragement and despair that almost stopped the wall work in its tracks? Nehemiah not only prayed up, armored up, but also Nehemiah called upon the people to look up. Nehemiah 4:14 and verse 20 says, "Nehemiah looked right into the faces of the leaders and all the people and said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and awesome, for our God shall fight for us." In other words, Nehemiah looked right at the people and told them, look up. Get your eyes off of yourself, off of your problems, and off of your fears, and look to the Lord. God has not abandoned you. God has not left you. God, our great and awesome God, will fight for you. So look up in faith. Look to the Lord. Remember, when storms break out against us, whether external from without or internal from within, God wants his people, us, to respond not with a man-centered fear, but a God-centered reverent fear and faith in the Lord, remembering who our God is and what he has promised. Just recently, CEF of Illinois had our fall fundraiser. Our guest speaker was Gracia Burnham, who is a former missionary in the Philippines that was held captive, both her and her husband, for over a year by a Muslim terrorist group. Gracia shared on a radio interview that during the whole time in captivity, they had no Bible. All they had were the scripture verses they had memorized years ago. But there was one verse that especially stuck with Gracia during the whole time when she was in captivity. It was Hebrews 13:5, a Bible verse that she had learned as a little girl from her mother, who had taught a CEF Good News Club for many years. Whenever Gracia felt discouraged and felt like she couldn't take one more step, or she despaired even of life itself or the possibility of any future rescue from this terrible ordeal, Gracia would look down at her hand and then look up to the Lord in faith as she counted the 5 fingers in front of her face, remembering Jesus' words saying, "I will never leave you." If Gracia was here on this radio program, she would tell you that the only way she survived that terrible storm of captivity for over a year was not because of anything within her, but by looking up day by day steadfastly to the Lord in faith. Nehemiah chapter 4 doesn't end there with a call to God's people to pray up, armor up, and look up, but also to circle up. Nehemiah, towards the end of chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, Nehemiah said and called out to the people, "The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." Well, what's the point of this blow the trumpet and circle up strategy found here in Nehemiah? It's simple. None of us were meant to live this Christian life alone. We need one another in the body of Christ. When there's a gap between you and others, a loss of communication or a dividing conflict, you need to close that hole in the line and circle up. When there's somebody in the body of Christ, a church or family member that needs a helping hand or someone to just be there for them, you need to answer the call and circle up. You know, there's a world of difference in the leadership style of storm navigation between Captain Ahab and Moby Dick and Nehemiah in the Bible. It's not even close. But in the same way, it's not even close between Nehemiah and our true captain of our ship, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When storms hit, whether external from without or internal from within, Jesus, our captain and Lord, wants us to get our eyes off the storm and look to him, remembering his words, "I will never leave you," especially when we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. Or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.